What's up, Gladiators? It's been a minute, but we're finally back. The hiatus is over. Stick with us. We're about to talk Scandal Season 7, Episode 8, titled Robin.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Maybe they like them, or cheese might let me know.
Okay, Jess. Sorry.
Hey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to our Scandal After Show. It's been a minute, but I'm glad to be back. The wait is finally over. Yes. What's up, guys? You know me. I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Beam.
I'm Tessa Saval. You guys can find me all over social media at Tessa _ Saval.
And I'm Paris Rose. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat at Paris Rose, and Twitter at Paris Rose with two R's. Paris Rose TV with two R's. Yes.
There it is. And what's up, guys? I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW, and of course on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams. So good to be back.
Yes.
I missed you guys.
I know.
I miss sitting here.
I think we're past that point of saying Happy New Year, but I'm going to say it anyways. Happy New Year, you guys.
Why not?
We're still fresh into January. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And after our little hiatus, Scandal's finally back. So I know us in studio, for all of you who are listening online or on iTunes later or live right now in the live chat, what's up? We had mixed emotions after watching this episode. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we're all kind of like in our heads right now.
Exactly.
Trying to compose ourselves. Jess has got the live chat up right now, or she's in the process of getting it up.
What's up? What's up, everyone? Y'all are tuning in. Sarah, what's up? We see you saying hi to everybody at the table. And she said that Scandal is predictably unpredictable.
Aww.
You're so right.
I have to agree.
Yeah,
this week had some... I don't even know. I was going to say interesting things, but also kind of predictable, I will say.
I will say, was it Sarah who said unpredictable?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say for this episode, she might have a point, because I just didn't know where it was going to start off, where it was even going to lead, even like 30 minutes into it. I'm like, so what's going on? So I would say it was unpredictable the whole episode. I didn't know what was going to happen. I still don't.
Mm.
Yeah, we were all looking at each other the whole time like, wait, what's going on? What's happening?
It's a bit of a head scratcher, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into the episode, I mean, I'm sure you guys have been keeping up and waiting patiently for this episode, but I guess really quickly to just pick up where we left off at the end of episode 7, where we're all waiting to find out if Quinn is actually dead.
I would say it wasn't if she's dead. We were talking about it the last time, like, oh, is she dead? She's having her baby in real life, which is true.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
they did actually kill her off. By the way, I'm sorry, my voice is so hideous today. I am on the verge of losing it, so just bear with me. but one thing I predicted was that her baby was still alive. I was so shocked. Well, not really, I guess, but kind of. But I was right. The baby survived. And so now that's going to be interesting. I'm jumping to the end. But as far as predictability, I don't know. Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I'm actually struggling to think about what we predicted at the end of the last episode. Because I know all I was focused on was seeing the body, because in TV, you know, if you don't see the body, you don't know if that person's actually dead or not. And to be real, we've seen bodies all episode, but I don't know if I'm the only one who still feels like I haven't been satisfied by that ending just yet.
I'm with you. I haven't seen the body, and it's not like Scandal doesn't show bodies or, like, bloody deaths. I mean, they do that. So I feel like the only reason when they don't show a body is because that person is not dead.
That
or maybe
true.
I just don't want to believe Quinn is dead. I don't know.
Maybe next episode.
I need a better farewell, you know? I need a better farewell than that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the body would just be there, shot.
I know, but it would, like Abby said, it'll be like, you know, they're dead. It's final.
But we kind of saw the burnt body.
Yes.
So they were able to pull forensics on her, you know, teeth and her different bone structure and things like that to identify that it was her. So I think we just got to let it go.
Let
the body go.
Something we spoke about on our last episode was, you know, when Harrison died, the kind of montages that we got and different things. So I was really waiting to see that this episode for it to feel real. And we did kind of get that jumping ahead to Quinn's funeral, where each character had a moment remembering, I guess, a significant moment with Quinn. So that was really, really hard to watch, personally. Out of the whole episode, I was like, wow, they're really pushing this. So
I just haven't bought it. I'm seriously in denial. I'm like, yeah. She's alive.
Yep.
This is all trying to throw us off, and it's not throwing me off, but I don't want to be wrong.
I know.
Let us know what you guys think in the chat wall right now. Have you made your peace with Quinn being dead, or do you still think that there's a chance that she could be alive? Let us know. But jumping into the episode, I guess it's kind of neither here nor there that we see Papa Pope destroying a car with a body in the trunk, goes into flames. We're assuming that is Quinn's dead, charred body that we see. And I'm going to say assuming all episode. I hope you don't be upset with me, but I'm in denial like you as well. And we cut to the team kind of discussing how to honor Quinn's legacy and how to go about burying somebody who was such a big part of their team. It didn't seem to go the same way that they went through the motions when Harrison died, and it was like, okay, funeral, you plan it, we do it. It just seems so much heavier this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. And I think that kind of goes to the point that I really do think that she's dead. You know, they are doing all of the closing efforts. I enjoyed the montage. It was a little choppy, of course, because they were doing one person at a time and the scenes that they chose were so short. I just wanted a bit more. And I feel like had they had done a rolling montage, I would have been more emotional at the exit of Quinn. But I thought that the turning her into ammunition was fascinating.
Yeah.
A lot of effort, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Quite a process. What did y'all think of the gun? Ammunition.
I thought it was burial. Really creative. Yeah. Now, it's not for everyone. I don't want to be turned into bullets.
No?
But for... No, not for me. I want the flowers and the pretty casket.
Okay.
But I thought it was perfect for Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she liked the story, fitting. Sorry. Yeah, no. It was very fitting.
Definitely. I think that's totally Quinn style. I think she would appreciate that kind of send-off. But what's interesting when they're going through what forensics found... You know, they plant that seed very early on in the episode that Huck notices that there was an antique pin that was found mm-hmm. amongst her remains. And immediately mm-hmm. that set off a flag in my head. Mm-hmm. Huck's going to be that guy to just pull the carpet from under everybody and figure out what's going to happen. Were you guys surprised by that at all, that Huck was the one who caught this?
No.
Right? No surprise there.
No surprise there.
Just to bring in our chat, Kamara is on board with what you guys are saying. She was like, y'all know Papa Pope can call rent a body. He can falsify anything. He can cut off a lock of hair, cut a piece of her dress. She goes, remember, we didn't see the face in the car. We saw Harrison's face and body.
Yeah.
Did we?
No,
because Harrison was killed off. We didn't actually see his body.
We didn't see his body, mm-hmm. but to her point, we didn't also see Quinn's face either. Mm-hmm. Because even when I was writing my notes down, we see a dead something inside the car. There's, you know, for as savage as it was to just put her in the trunk and light her on fire, like, Papa Pope seems like the type of guy to, like, stare down into the body and be like, you know, like, and we just didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
So, true. It's very, very, calculated how that all went down sure.
Back to your question though about the hairpin, when that happened I was like, yikes, because number one, that was the one thing that could, you know, link Olivia back to Quinn in that 48 hours that they went step by step of. So at first I was like, why didn't she just say, oh yeah, like I gave it to her? But if it came at the time that it was checked out compared to when mm-hmm. you know, Olivia said that she had no contact with Quinn during that time they were investigating, I thought that was interesting. And the second thing that was interesting was the hairpin. He was like, this hairpin is unusual. We didn't discuss this. I'm like, why would she discuss a hairpin with you? So at first I was like, that's a reach, you know, to create a link in the story. But then as I thought about it, I was like, oh, he was the best man. And he was so extra about that role that he was like, we didn't discuss this as part of your outfit.
Right.
So it made sense to me.
That You're did right. bring it together yeah. for sure. Yeah. And, you know, someone as meticulous as Huck, I mean, even though it was something fashion related, being that he was in that role, I guess that's why he picked up on it.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking they were reaching. I'm like, okay, they were trying to find something to connect it.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. He was such a good maid of honor, so forgot about that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this whole episode, Liv is unraveling, to say the least. It was really, I gotta say, it was really hard watching Carrie kind of act out this episode. I will say there were so many moments where I just didn't believe her, personally. Or maybe because I'm still just in denial about everything.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, what? Which moment?
I don't know. I just think she was, like, overacting a little bit with, you know, when she shows up to Fitz's house and she's just not saying any... Or, no, he shows up to her house to try and console her. And she goes on this really weird, drunken tirade about Fitz not being good enough to be her friend and pushing him away. I know that must have been their version of her working through her grief. Mm-hmm. But it just felt really weird because... I think Fitz was still always that person, and it seemed weird to me that she didn't let him in at least a little bit at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was almost the office scene when she was wearing the hat. That to me was like, what is going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that scene just—I don't know what it was about it. It felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's and then right. The kiss on the cheek with Huck, and she's under the desk. I don't know. The whole thing just felt strange.
I was with you. That hat part. I wanted Huck to be like, stop crying. Shut up. Like, you did this with a hairpin. I want him to, like, call her out for something because I was tired of seeing her making uncomfortable. Just wanted him to say something.
Yeah, I agree. It was very melodramatic. And it's funny because I think it was more so because we know what actually happened. So it's kind of like that situation when someone has a surprise birthday and everyone knows that you already know about the birthday, but you walk in like, oh my God, this is for me. And then you're looking at them like they're crazy. So I think that's what it is. We know that she knows that she did it and she's trying to act. I think partial of it is acting, you know, to cover up her steps, but also she is very remorseful and you know, for that point to the eulogy, which was a disaster, I mean, she was just like, this sucks. This awful. Is awful.
That was the worst eulogy I've ever heard. I mean, I cried real tears at Harrison's fake funeral. This one, it was definitely a serious moment, but I'm like, really, Liv? That's it? That's all you could muster. I mean, Liv knows how to lie her ass off and really, you know, sell something when she needs to. I'm like, girl... You need to sell this particular thing right now because people are onto you.
Yeah. So. And I was really expecting her to say, you know, Quinn, she's always fought for this white hat, you know, and you know, we have to continue to move forward and pick up the pieces and not fall apart because this isn't what she would have wanted us to do. And just really be motivation, Nolan. Like, you know, especially Charlie, he really needed to hear it because he fell off the deep end and now he's ready to join back B613 Papa Poop Edition.
Yeah, I just also thought it was very weird, you know, her not mentioning those things and even just the team in general. Like, it's very weird to me that QPA, led by someone like Quinn, who literally will not give up until there is a resolution to something, could easily just sit back and just let it be. Yeah. I don't know. Something about that just didn't feel right. Because when Huck was missing, they went, you know, they had to find the body and know if he was alive or not. Which, in this case, yes, they did get a body presented to them. So I could see why they might think that it's just said and done. But Huck was the only one who was still looking for anything that could be suspicious about the situation. Like, they investigate things. How is no one else looking into it the way that he is?
Mm-hmm. But I also think Liv is not in charge anymore. She's not with Huck. She was like, we've got to find Huck. This is our guy. He's on our team. But with Quinn, since she's a part of it, she's also not trying to look into it further. So maybe they're grieving and they don't have a leader anymore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think that was kind of highlighted in that mini conversation between Huck and Abby when he's like, did you call her? Like, why isn't she here? Like, he's trying to get her to also see, like, something is off here.
Yeah. Like, yes.
You know, he presents her with the evidence and she basically tells him that his theories are crazy. It couldn't be Liv. Liv would never do something like this. And that scene was pretty tough to watch because he's just so right.
Yeah.
He's so right. And
he connected it awfully quick to me. Like, in a sense, I was like, you jump from she gave her a pen and perhaps forgot to mention it to she's the one that killed her to she killed her because she knew that she killed the president of Bersaran. Yeah. Like, what? Like, I took a deep breath. Like, what is it called? When you lose your breath? I was like, you got all that from a hairpin?
That's true. That was a bit of a reach. I let that one go for the simple fact that we had to move Huck. The episode along. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, do you want to see Huck going, like, through this and triangulating the cell phone signal and all the things that he magically came up with after one night of research? So...
What did you guys think about the kind of gladiator speech that Lib then gave to Huck? I just found that a little interesting, too. It was like she prized that word so much. Like, we're gladiators. We're gladiators in suits. It's been such a common theme throughout the whole series. And now she's like, we're dinner in the show. To me, that was really jarring.
Yeah, I agree. It was shocking. It was almost like she was overwhelmed with guilt and kind of showing her cards in a sloppy way.
Yes.
You know, like, why are you here drunk? Why are you dropping glasses and wearing this crazy hat? Like, what are you doing? Like Tessa said, she's under the table. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think that it further confirmed everything that Huck was saying. I agree with you, Paris, that I'm surprised he didn't say something.
Right. I mean, he had the gun, but I think he was upset for a while. When she broke down, he even his eyes started to water. So I think he was trying to be strong, but she broke down. He's seeing her cry. He's like, okay, I'll let her slide this time. But I wanted him to really go in on her. Maybe he will.
Huck has had the hardest pill to swallow this entire episode. Going back and forth, struggling what to do about what he knows. Mm-hmm. He has tried to share it with two different people. Fitz saying he can't help. Olivia is just so far off the deep end. Abby refuses to even believe what he's come up with. And then to come to Charlie with that kind of information might really send this dude off the deep end. So I definitely felt for Huck. And I think now maybe that's why he wasn't sure what to do in that moment. Because when he looks to his right and left, he doesn't know what to do with that information just yet. Even though I'm sure he knows in his gut that he's probably right. Mm-hmm. And to go after the person who saved them all is definitely not easy.
I would also say, to Tessa's point, that speech was just such a pivotal moment because it solidified Olivia's crossover to the deep end, mm-hmm. and her solace in it. Because it's one thing to cross over and still feel guilt, but it's as if she was saying goodbye to the white hat. It's as if the white hat died officially in this episode, and that was her eulogy presented to the white hat.
Wow.
And she is not that person anymore.
Yeah, Papa Pope said it too. That two people died, you know, Olivia, who she was inside, and Quinn, which is crazy.
I really liked that. That probably
I know, that really resonated with me.
Mic drop. Yes.
Woo. Yeah.
Because there's always these hidden symbols in every episode of Scandal, and I totally missed that, but I really do think that was the farewell to the white hat. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's dirty now, it's old, it's not the same. Oh my gosh, Jessica, yes.
Maybe rest in peace, white hat.
Yikes. Well, I don't know, I think someone else is going to have to pick up that white hat and dust it off. And
who could it be? Rosen. Rosen's the only one who has had a white hat the whole time.
Can you see Rosen with the little feather and the diamond? Like, I came through.
Oh my god. Oh, just a random thing. I have been mentioning it over and over, but what is the point of Glackland? Where is the storyline? Why?
I was actually going to get to that.
I absolutely agree.
And it was striking to me that they had that very early on between scenes about Quinn and everything that's going on at QPA. To Cyrus trying to figure out his relationship troubles that right now seem kind of just mundane. Like, why are we talking about this? But to your point, why are we talking about this? How is he connected to the larger story? I was expecting like Cyrus to uncover something that links Jake to Glackland, to the death, and then maybe that's how it comes out, but it just hasn't happened yet.
It's flat. Which it's as if Jake, Cyrus has already done the linking almost, because he figured out that Jake kind of forged the NSA information linking the guy on the terminal to Glackland. And so that, you know, and then Jake kind of subliminally threatened him with his life. The weird thing about the Glackland thing is that, I'm sorry, wasn't Cyrus consoling Glackland after Charlie came and beat him with oranges? And Olivia was like, don't worry about it, Charlie. Cyrus is going to smooth things over with Glackland. Wouldn't that have been the connection point? Like, didn't he already know that Cyrus knew these people? And I say that because Glackland was like, oh, you're associate with these people. You know this Charlie guy because he worked for you. Well, yeah. Like,
right?
I thought that was already clear.
Okay, exactly. Thank you. Exactly. Yes. That threw me off as well, too, because now he just seems so upset by it and just like, I can't even be with you because you're in this world. And it seemed like they tried to make that whole interaction about, like, Cyrus really, like, realizing that he's just this bad person. And I'm like, we've been there. We've done that already. Mm-hmm. We know this. And I just struggled to see the point.
I don't think there is one. I hope they bring up one. Otherwise, I'm like, why did you? It's just the filler. I don't understand. Yeah. I'm annoyed.
Speaking of other fillers, we got a lot of filler scenes with David and Abby and just their conversations. Mm-hmm. It seems like their relationship is... They're much closer at this point. They're obviously leaning on each other in this very difficult time. Mm-hmm. But I think I wrote something down, actually. Well, them spending a lot of time together was actually beneficial because in the very last scene, or one of the very last few scenes, we see that they find a USB drive somehow hidden in the playpen that was sent to Quinn and Charlie's house. Mm-hmm. What's on it, we have yet to find out. That definitely intrigued me, though. Mm-hmm. Something, you know... new to add to the situation versus what us as the audience already knows and what the characters already know. I'm very anxious for some hopefully new information. So
do you have any guesses to what you think?
That's what I was gonna say, because I at first I was like, oh, Quinn put it there, and I was like, or did someone else put it there for Quinn to find? Oh, like it came in the... You have a theory?
I have a theory that Papa Pope sent it. And I think that he's going to try and, like, give them other breadcrumbs to, like, either reveal that Olivia was behind it in a way that turns her team against her, or just, I don't know, I just have a feeling that he's behind it for some reason.
Okay.
That might be a reach, but...
My theory for that disc, that hard drive, is that I think it's the audio recording between Olivia and Quinn at that memorial, the Capitol Hill, wherever they were at, when Quinn confronted Olivia about the plane crash and they had that conversation. Because remember, last episode, when, what's his name, Price was brought into it, the voicemail said, I know who, you know, killed President Brashad, and I met with them, and I have it recorded. Those are three things that were said.
And that piece of footage was missing when they were trying to recollect the events of when she met missing.
Well, not the... I don't think it's the video footage from... Because Jake deleted that.
Right,
it
yes,
is the audio. Because Quinn said that she recorded the conversation between the person who blew up the plane.
Right.
So that's what I think it is. And that's why I think it was hidden in just the most random spot in case anyone was to try to... you know, ramble through her place, who would look under a freaking playpen.
Right, because he said that, Charlie said that Quinn wouldn't let anyone help him. Mm. Help her put it together. Yeah. She did it herself. That is a great theory. Mm.
Steep.
Jessica! Now.
Oh my goodness.
That is a great theory.
Gosh, so I guess there is some hope that things will be revealed. I mean, it has to. How are we going to get through this season without...
I mean, and if they reveal that Huck knows already in this episode, oh, it's about to roll. Mm-hmm. It's about to go down.
Yikes.
Can I say something? Something that is the most perplexing thing in this entire episode?
What?
Why in the hell did Papa Pope get his bones back? Why? Like, he was supposed to, like, not get his bones. Like, it was, give me my bones or I kill Quinn. So he killed Quinn, and then he gets his bones back? That was not the agreement. She could have just given him the bones at the beginning, and Quinn could have still been alive.
That's a great point.
He wasn't supposed to get the bones back. Someone, please.
Well, I think it was, if you don't give me back my bones, I'm going to kill her. And then she was saying, you're not getting your bones back, so we killed her. Isn't that what they were trying to show the last episode? That he was like, make up your mind, Olivia, make
so
up your mind.
So now it's like, I killed her, now deliver my bones.
Also, I guess. The kill order that she put on his life in that scene, like, whatever happened to that?
Another good
How is that one looking for him? How is it not flagged anywhere that that whole interaction happened?
I think she was bluffing. I think that kill phone call, she was bluffing. Mm. When I was watching it, I was like...
Yeah, I rewatched it this week, too.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think she's actually talking to someone.
Well, that would answer that then, if she was bluffing. I also think she was bluffing, too. And I think Papa Pope thought she was bluffing. So.
He said it. He was like, I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. What was the agreement? Because I thought that by him killing Quinn, that was supposed to demonstrate that Olivia doesn't care what you do. Like, you're not going to bully me into giving you your bones. You're not going to bully me into doing anything you want. Kill my friends, kidnap them, you good. and I'm going to continue to, you know, keep you under guard. But now he got his bones.
Yeah, so then what's next? Like, does he just officially have leverage over her?
Thank you.
Indefinitely?
I think that's what it meant. I think that was his, God, what is the word? That was him showing that he has the control. He has all the power. Because Liv, as dark as everyone thinks she is still human and still affected by this. And so I feel like he'll be like, you see what I did to Quinn? I can do that to anyone else that you care about. And so I have the power. Listen to me. That's how I feel.
But you have the power. What? You have what power? And you just have your bones. Like, was it supposed to be a grab to get B613 back from her? Isn't that why she held her ground in the first place?
Right.
Because he was going to use that to get whatever he wanted. But it seems like now he got his bones back and it's just all good. Like,
yeah. Because it's weird. Because what you're saying makes sense. But she was defending it in reverse. Yeah. So basically, her giving in to Papa Pope's request because he kidnapped Quinn was a slippery slope. She was like, if I give him back what he wants to retrieve my friend, he knows my weakness and knows that he can take over all of my friends to gain power of B613, to gain power of Melly, to gain power of the White House.
Yeah.
Why does he have his bones? I'm perplexed. That's a
good question. Chat roll, if you guys have anything to contribute to that, weigh in because we're all kind of stumped here. Maybe the writers wrote themselves into a hole with that one because why?
Or maybe we'll understand everything next episode.
I hope so.
You are so right because now we're going to go back. We're going to see what really happened, who really got shot, how they got shot. Maybe she made a little deal with Papa Pope. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to rest my mind on that until next week.
Until next week. I mean, I sure hope so. And I don't want them to leave any stone unturned. I want to see everything that happened. Like, just from the little slivers of the promo that we saw, I'm like, could Quinn hear Liv bargaining with her life like that? Like, could she, how much of that did she hear and how crazy that must have been?
Mm-hmm.
But just to wrap our recap of the episode itself, the episode ends with Charlie coming back to Papa Pope's house, trying to rejoin B613 in some way and just become a contract killer again. And, you know, Papa Pope tells him, you need to go home. Like, just get out of here, get some rest. And he hears a baby crying upstairs. And the episode ends with Charlie holding Papa Pope at gunpoint, asking whose baby is it.
Choking him, wasn't he?
Choking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Papa Pope tried to do a 1-2 move. Sit down, old man.
He really tried it.
Yeah, where was he going with that?
Oh, I was dead. That was so funny.
So we all think the baby is Quinn and Charlie's.
I mean,
absolutely.
No doubt about it, right?
It's not Papa Pope's. Absolutely. That was a white baby. So,
well, that much we saw.
So I'm thinking so.
Absolutely. It's not like a rent-a-baby that he's using or anything like that.
I have so many questions.
Okay, one of my questions, I'm sorry, at this point, is why did Charlie go back to Papa Pope? Does he not know that Olivia's command?
good question.
Because I know Huck knows.
Yeah.
And I think Quinn knew.
Right, but it wasn't, but Huck figured it out.
Yeah.
It was never announced. Remember, Huck came and he was like, you're going to kill, you know, the spy in that very first episode. He was like, you're going to kill the spy. So he kind of...
I think with Quinn knowing that, I was just surprised that Charlie didn't know too.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, clearly she kept things from him.
She did. What were you gonna say, Paris?
Oh, no, I don't remember. It's okay. It wasn't that important.
Well, one question that I have about this whole baby thing: number one, like, why didn't they just allow for the body to be found with the baby, or put the baby in the like, make it where the baby could come back to Charlie? Like, what is the game plan? Like, I want to know, what is this 18-year plan with this child? Is Papa Pope just going to raise him? Like, that was so weird. And it would have given a sense of peace and purpose, I guess, for Quinn's dying if they actually were able to have the baby. He would have been occupied and not trying to... Charlie would have been occupied and not trying to rejoin B613.
There are just so many loose ends right now that I think are just going to unravel and expose Liv, because for all the things you just said, they definitely cut corners, I think, with that one.
Yeah, because they made it like the baby was in the body. They confirmed that the baby's in the body.
Mm.
So now everything we know is untrue.
We know nothing.
We thought we knew, however.
We don't know anything. I don't know what's going on with my girl Liv. She goes to Fitz for some grief sex in this episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I just didn't understand.
We all looked at each other like, what?
Mention Olivia. Yeah, it was...
It was very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I was annoyed, once again, at Fitz. He's that easy. All she has to say is just one night, and he's back. He just told Huck that she's crazy, she's not the same person. Then she says one night, and he's back with her.
Let's be real. Olivia has that good, obviously. Right. Like, she can get whatever she wants.
And I think he overall thinks that he, like Papa Pope told him, he is the only one that can change Olivia by her falling back in love with him.
That's his only card right now.
But I was like, I don't know. It's always been a little more sacred to me, the Olivia and Fitz relationship. Not like her and Price, not like her and Jake. But she totally hit him with that Dreamgirls line. One night only, one night only, that's all I have to give. Anyway, I was like, is this what your relationship has lowered to?
Yeah, that's a big one for the fans, I would say, especially the diehard Olitzers, to see her just reduce him to that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. I had all these, like, wild aspirations for this final season of them finding their way back to each other, but now Fitz is literally in Liv's rotation for all we know. You know, just kind of reduced to whoever's going to be feeding her needs at the moment, which is kind of sad.
I really thought, too, that she was going to tell him in that moment.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting and waiting, and then...
Yeah. All
the silence.
That was a letdown. That was a letdown.
Just sucks.
But if that would have happened, I was thinking, like, and then what? What if she did tell him? What can he do? How could he help?
I mean...
Be there for her? I don't know.
I wouldn't trust him.
That's a good point.
Anyway, he tattled to Melly on her. Oh, by the way... I am so over people, like, going behind Olivia's back to tattle on her. I mean, you had Huck that went to Fitz this episode. Mm-hmm. You had Jake that went to Papa Pope the last episode saying, by the way, she, you know, she off her rocker. And then you had Fitz that went to Melly telling her about B613 and Luna Vargas. Like,
they're all afraid.
They're running around.
Yeah, like, they're afraid.
They lost their minds. I'm like, why y'all tattletelling? I don't know. That's annoying.
Quinn's not there to restore order and be like, hey, guys. Keep it together. One thing I noticed this episode, there's a bit of an unlikely partnership here with Fitz and Huck, which I think is going to play out a lot more than what we saw this episode, because Huck was really seeking that validation that he was onto something, and Fitz, in a way, gave it to him. Just him acknowledging that Liv is different.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
I think those two are actually going to link up, and that might be the key to exposing this, to be real, because Huck has all the facts, and I think Fitz has the finesse to put Liv in a position where it will come out.
I like that. Facts and finesse.
Yes.
I agree. I think we were all caught off guard when Fitz was sitting there and they're like, Huck's here. He's like, what?
I know. Yeah. Mr. Huck.
That was weird. That relationship, I don't feel like I've ever, like, seen them talk ever before.
It's really interesting.
And I'm surprised, honestly, that Huck hasn't told more people. And just, when I say more people, like, that he hasn't gone, well, we saw what Charlie did when he thought Glacklin was involved. Yeah. Never mind about that. But that he didn't perhaps tell Rosen or just someone else. But I guess Abby's the only one that he trusted, and he would have told Quinn if it wasn't Quinn that had died. Right.
Well, and I think he needed to first make sure he wasn't crazy before he starts spreading this rumor, essentially. Right.
The dust hasn't quite settled yet around everything. And to come in hot with a theory like that, it could end up doing more harm than good, because if someone is involved that's in their inner circle or something that could lead him to the truth, he definitely should tread carefully with how he goes about exposing it. So.
And not... mentioning it to Liv at all so that she can't recover her tracks like before.
Yeah, I really do hope Abby comes around. I think she's going to be another great asset in reining it in if you know, she ends up teaming up with Huck and Fitz, which I'm here for.
So what do we want? So this is a weird dynamic that we're in, because I hear you saying, like, oh, I really hope that they work together and it's revealed. But what do we want? Do we want Liv to go down? Do we want for her to be saved? Do we want for her to crumble? Do we want for her to rise? What do we want?
That's such a great point, because honestly, as I was sitting there, I was like, this is a downfall of Liv. 7 seasons and it's like such a downfall. I'm like, is she going to come back up, or is that like... I mean, it's Shonda. She has to. Yeah.
See, I want her to crumble.
Yeah, I know. It's
hard. But then it's like, what's the saga of the downfall of this powerful woman? Like, that's just...
Yeah.
It's so entertaining, though.
I'm not saying it. I just am like...
Yeah, I agree.
No, like, Shonda is all about woman empowerment, these strong female characters. And as I look back in this moment, I'm like, she's just slowly been going down.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree, because at the beginning of this season, I was like, ooh, when we were doing predictions, I think like the first week, and we're like, you know, what do we want to happen at the end? I was like, ooh, she could be the first, you know, president, or she's going to be this. And so she, you know, we were just saying like all this positive stuff to leave her role as. And now, I mean, she's at a point of no turning back. So there's no way up from here.
I feel like the writers are asking us that question through their writing in this episode. Yeah. Like, well, what do we want for Olivia? Where does this end for her? And I was actually talking about this with you earlier, reading a lot of blogs just to gather other people's thoughts on where this season is going, and some interesting points of a lot of people, you know, saw this ending with Liv either being just chief of staff, like that made sense for her character and her career trajectory of where she would go, but like her being ultra evil as command versus who she was ultra white hat before, like just that kind of dynamic. Some people are struggling with how the writers are writing her, because what makes characters kind of endearing and that you follow their stories is that they do fall. They're not perfect. They're not all one thing or one or the other thing. So I see her struggling with that, Liv's character, and that's my question for the writers, just like you. Like, where do you actually want her to end up? Is this the downfall of her because all the promos have her sitting alone on a bench by herself? Is that what we're supposed to eventually get to? Or what? Yeah. You know?
That's good. Yeah, I agree. And it's like, I would have liked for her to get to a point where she is still, like, you know, in charge at the White House, and she comes to crossroads of deciding to be in the White House serving the people or doing B613, and that she officially shuts it down in a way that, you know, has no return. I think that would have been a great, you know, ending. Or if something would have happened to Melly, I mean, I don't want anything to happen to her, but if something would have happened and then Olivia had to step up in that place and she was the first black female president, that would have been cool. But, you know, now they push the limits and I get it. And they had to have her do, you know, a lot of nasty stuff for no really good reason. And so it's hard to root for that. Us being humane, I root for Olivia this entire seven seasons as Tessa pointed, but now we're at this crossroads where we have to check ourselves and decide what makes sense morally. Mm-hmm. Are we morally sound to support her? Are we saying, you know what, let's come on, Huck, bring it on.
And that's something was brought up at the Vulture Scandal panel, that even everyone on the panel said, like, well, what does a happy ending look like in Scandal for each of these characters? And what does that look like for Liv? Which is our central girl. So,
and who said we're getting a happy ending?
I know.
Exactly.
Tis true. I think all of us maybe didn't do our research well, because we all thought tonight was going to be the crossover episode. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard already, there is going to be a How to Get Away with Scandal crossover episode with How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, I was like, is that the new name?
Well, that's the hashtag. That's
How to Get Away with Scandal.
How to Get Away with Scandal. So, I want to say it's maybe an episode or two from now, you know, and we were even tossing around theories of, is Liv calling her in for help? Is Papa Pope calling in for help? Like, how does Annalise Keating enter this world?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think that it's going to be, and I hadn't watched any previews yet of the crossover because I was like, I want to be surprised, because I watch both shows, so I'm super excited. But I think that maybe Olivia is going to stand trial for the situation.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow.
As stuff starts to roll out.
I didn't even think of that.
And the only person that she can call to support Olivia is boom 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 Annalise Keating.
Wow.
Which would be epic.
That'll and I mean, How to Get Away with Murder. She knows how to get away with murder.
So I'm super into it.
Yeah, she can help Olivia get away with murder. If anybody can twist a case to get her out of that predicament, it is Annalise Viola Davis.
Mm. Wow. Think about what kind of a high profile case that's going to be. Chief of staff of the first female president of the United States on trial for collusion to the murder of her associate. Like, where do I mean, that sounds exactly like something we'd see on TGIT, actually.
And I'm going to need to be more than just one episode crossover.
I know.
I mean, we haven't had a crossover in so long. Guys, Did y'all watch Private Practice? Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy crossover. Ugh. It just hasn't happened in like ever.
Practice Shonda?
It was a spinoff, yeah.
Yeah. Those were first, ago. Right?
Show, first spinoff.
Grace?
No, Grace was first. Private Practice was a spinoff to that.
How did Private Practice end? Was it sad or was it a happy ending?
I don't
ending?
Even remember.
Because if so, I understand Shonda's vibes on how she likes to end shows, maybe I can predict how this will end.
Yeah.
But Grace hasn't ended. How to Get Away with Murder hasn't ended. I don't know her vibes yet.
And is there going to be a lesson? She can't disappoint us all. Because, I mean, let's just be real for a second. It's to show a rise of a black woman then who got too power hungry, and then she soars down and diminishes. What a horrible! Like, I'm discouraged in life.
That's what I feel like, too. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, that's like, true. I wonder this if cannot be our narrative.
Wasn't the show loosely based on
the lady, the actual lawyer?
Yeah, I'm blanking on her name right now. I'm sorry, Gladiators, but I'm curious maybe if we can find some sort of breadcrumbs in how her story ended and how she exited the White House to maybe give us some insight on how this will end. I know Shonda's like a powerhouse with, you know, what she writes and her team, but I gotta think that Carrie and Tony Goldwyn were probably in the room like, can we give some input on how this ends? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
They always say, though, that they never know what's
coming.
Yeah,
that they're surprised
so
as well.
So shocked, yeah.
I know. It's just hard for me to believe. I'm like, because Carrie was such a big part. Like, the show was just driven by her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she, back in the day, was the one who kind of pushed the whole live tweeting to get the show going. Like, she's had such a instrumental part in the direction of the show. I'm just curious to know her thoughts on that.
Predictions?
I think it's about that time.
Yes.
Ooh. All right, we'll rock out to some predictions.
But before the predictions, we didn't really discuss the Vulture Festival.
We didn't.
We left off telling you guys that we were going to attend the Vulture Fest that happened with a panel of Scandal as they discussed the final season.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was right before the break.
Yeah, it was right before the break. So, I mean, one thing that was shocking, Katie wasn't there. Katie Lowe.
Katie Lowe was not there.
Quinn. She wasn't there. They were very mysterious and closed mouth, as expected. But they kind of felt sad. It was very sad and nostalgic all at the same time. Like, their air and their vibe as they were discussing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was an interesting panel. Definitely different than the Paley Fest. What did you think?
I went to the panel as well. We were there together.
Yeah.
definitely enjoyed it. Loved hearing from the cast. And I definitely got that vibe as well, that they were very sad. I'm sure just sad just because the show's ending, period. Mm-hmm. They didn't give us any kind of clues to the situation with Quinn. But I got the vibe that we are going to be satisfied. I don't know if you got that vibe,
mm-hmm.
but I did just from the way that they were speaking and dancing around the topic of how it'll end. I think we're going to get some sort of closure with this.
Okay.
Just everything.
This is a roller coaster.
It sure is. be sure to tweet us all week, guys, and let us know your thoughts on everything that's happening with Scandal. Because, you know, Shonda, if you guys follow her, she likes to drop breadcrumbs. I mean, that's how we kind of found out about the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout. You guys are amazing with calling us out on things and things that you see. So please let us know your theories. But let's get into ours about what we think is going to happen next.
Yay!
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Ooh, I miss this very eerie music. God, I feel like this is just still so open-ended because we don't know what happened yet. But I'm sticking by my theory that Fitz and Huck are going to team up and expose Liv. But in a way that's going to try to like help her and save her. I don't know what that looks like just yet, but that's what I think.
So it ends on Charlie and Papa Pope, and I think he's going to stop choking him, and Papa Pope's going to talk to him, and that they are going to team up against Liv.
Mm.
That's what I feel.
Okay.
I think he's going to manipulate him. That's a point.
Who's going to manipulate who?
Papa Pope is going to manipulate Charlie. Because Papa Pope isn't the one, I mean, he's supposed to be the one who actually killed Quinn.
Right.
And obviously Charlie doesn't know that, so I feel like he's going to spin it around and manipulate him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's good. My prediction, I agree that he's going to definitely lie. Papa Pope is going to lie to Charlie and perhaps say, oh, you know, I was there and I saved the baby or something. I honestly don't know what could come next in this situation. Does Papa Pope tell him the truth? Does he lie and say, I stole a little white baby? Who knows what he's going to say? But I definitely think that Olivia is going to, I think the next, the next episode is a flashback, so I don't know how much we're actually going to get of the progression of the series, but I do think that Olivia is going to find out that Huck is looking into her and is going to freak out and put on this campaign.
Oh my God.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I just think Liv's going to like literally lose it at some point. Like, she already has, but I feel like it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to create sparks in Abby to be like, oh, Huck is right. Like, something is up with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have much more than that. I'm still chewing on this episode a lot more than I normally am, I think.
Yeah.
One question that, was kind of glaring to me towards the end of the episode and I want to pose to you guys is, do you think that Papa Pope deserves to live at this point? Like, wouldn't all of Liv's problems go away if she kills her father? Because he is the one who knows everything right now. He's the biggest loose end that's still not tied. And then does that also create a snowball effect? Because then Huck already knows. So if she kills Papa Pope, then she gotta kill Huck. Then she gotta kill everybody.
Then she all alone.
Yeah, Abby, that's why she's all alone. She killed all the friends.
She killed them.
And that's how the season ends, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
a massacre.
Of that, like, Black Mirror episode. I don't know if you guys watch it. Yes. But
that's dark, Christine.
You know?
That's very dark, and yes.
Is she that afraid to face what happened that she's gonna just go
wipe
savage?
Them out.
I don't know.
You know, I with Shonda, who knows?
Exactly.
Right. I don't think so, but
and that would just make me ask the question: what was the point of it all? Because she could have just, and I was supporting her just killing Papa Pope
in the
house when she went to retrieve Quinn before all of this happened. Like,
I know she's gotten close so many times. Yes. I really felt that too. I was like, just. Do it. We've been through this so many times.
Right. Exactly. I love Papa Pope, but I'm over it. Just kill him.
He put a gun to her head. She put out a kill order for 20 minutes. I was thinking, even if you left, you gave him enough time to pack and leave himself. Yeah. Like, these loose threads. So,
yeah. I don't see Papa Pope making it out of season 7. I don't even see him making it out of the next 2 episodes. I'm going to make that bold prediction here.
All right. There you go.
Very bold.
I just don't know the point of Quinn dying. That's what I just
I don't know.
Nothing like I mean, Liv kind of said it. She was like, it's awful, no point.
Yikes. Well, so many unanswered questions. Hopefully they get answered soon. It's been great kicking it with you guys, recapping this episode. You can find me all over social media at Christine Beam.
And I'm Tessa Saval. You guys can find me all over social media at Tessa_Saval.
And I'm Paris Rose. You can find me on Insta and Snap at Paris Rose, and on Twitter, Paris Rose TV.
And I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams.
All right, guys. Peace.
Yay, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.